Welcome to Covenant's Pulpit Ministry. Covenant Evangelical Free Church believes that the Bible is the Word of God and that God's Word is vital for life-transforming Christianity. We trust that you will grow to know the Word of God and, more importantly, the God of the Word as you hear this message today. May God bless you as you open your heart to His Word.
Today, I have the privilege to preach the last sermon from the book of Leviticus. I'm not sure whether you're glad or you're sad. So this sermon is titled as Leviticus Remembered, to help us to remember all that God has done, all that He has spoken during the year through this book in 2024. So it's about an exercise of remembrance. So personally, I'm quite a nostalgic person. I love to look at old photos to remember the fond memories. I love to go back to the old estate I grew up in to recall the good old days. So such exercise of remembrance is something that I might love. So when I look at it, I say, maybe I might really enjoy this sermon. You know, last Saturday, Felix and myself celebrated our 22nd wedding anniversary. So as a nostalgic person, guess what I made him do? I made him recall and remember 22 Thanksgiving in our wedding anniversary. And this is a picture of him struggling to recall 22 Thanksgiving. Then I cheekily reminded him that actually your wife is such a perfect person. There shouldn't be any difficulties to name 22 Thanksgiving, right? So fortunately, we completed that as a couple. And then he cheekily asked me, can we just record the 22 Thanksgiving? And then next year, I just need to add one more. Then I told him that's not the purpose of an exercise of remembrance, you know. The exercise of remembrance is to recall together. So when I look at this sermon titled as Leviticus Remembered, to help us to recall and remember all that God has spoken to us throughout the year, I slowly found myself struggling. I ask questions like, okay, so what's the purpose of this exercise of remembrance? Why waste one Sunday to recall and recap? So as I was praying and struggling, I also found my own answer to my own question by recalling a book that I read some time ago. And this book is called Preaching as Reminding. You know, Professor Jeffrey Arthur says that there is a place for preachers to expound on passages and to dish out new insights to God's people. But there is also a place for preachers to call God's people to recall, remind them to remember all that God has done, all that God has already spoken to them. In this book, Professor Arthur says that memory is a gift, an opportunity for stewardship. When we utilize only rudimentary memory, we operate more like animals than humans. Animals have enough memory to return to their nests and avoid dangerous areas based on past experience, but they lack the capacities of language, reason, and will required to put memories to use towards ethical and spiritual purposes. So today, we are going to put our memories to use for spiritual purposes by recalling and recapping all that God has already spoken to us in this whole entire year through the book of Leviticus. So to do that, I'm not going to expound on new passages because we've already done that week after week in the whole entire year. But we're going to step back and look at the book of Leviticus from a 50,000 feet high, by firstly remembering what is the spiritual burden that our senior pastors have received from God in the beginning of the year. If you remember, the spiritual burden that God has revealed to our senior pastors and also to our church is a spiritual burden of holiness. Leviticus 20:26 says, "You shall be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have separated you from the peoples, that you should be mine." So it is a whole spiritual burden of holiness to all of us in 2024. And we can't help on the last Sunday on this book of Leviticus to ask ourselves this question again. What is holiness all about? What is holiness all about? Holiness is all about belonging to God and becoming like Him. Belonging to God and becoming like Him. Before we dive in to read the Word of God, let us pray. Father, may you fill us with your Spirit to understand your Word. Empower us not just be hearers, but doers of your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The first point of today's sermon is holiness begins with belonging to Him. Where God tells His people, you are my treasured possession, you should be mine. In order for us to appreciate the first point of today's sermon, we must recap something that happened in Exodus chapter 19. So that we can really appreciate first point of today's sermon. So let us recall and recap Exodus chapter 19 to understand the context, the setting, the background of first points of today's sermon. So we know that God delivers His people. They were in bondage in Egypt for many years. And it was truly by God's grace that He delivers them. And there's this Exodus episode. When they were in Egypt, all the way to the Exodus event, God has not been dwelling among them. But straight after the Exodus event, God delivers them and brings them to this place called Mount Sinai, where they stayed there for 1 year, captured in Exodus chapter 19. In Mount Sinai, God tells them, you are my covenant people. You are my treasured possession. You should be mine. You belong to me. Because they are His covenant people, they are to be holy as He is holy. Because they are His covenant people, they are to observe a series of laws that God revealed to them up in Mount Sinai throughout that 1 year stay over there. Because they are His covenant people, they must be holy through the observations of the law so that God may dwell among them in the tabernacle. God's presence dwelling among them in the tabernacle completes that beautiful picture of God's people belonging to God. Why do I say that? Imagine with me, you tell your friend, hey, I am from the Tan family. I belong to the Tan family. I'm a child of Mr. and Mrs. Tan, but my parents have not been staying with me. Their presence is absent from my life since I was born. And then as you tell the story, your friend can't help but to ask you, how is it possible that you belong to your Tan family, where their presence is completely absent? So the presence of God must dwell among God's people in the tabernacle, and His presence completes the beautiful picture of a relationship with God. So if you look at the four words, bolded, highlighted in blue, Exodus, covenant, law, tabernacle, these are four sides of the frame that we should look at when we look at the book of Leviticus from 50,000 feet high. And the four preachers spend 4 weeks preaching to you these four sides of the frames in the beginning of the year in 2024. And today we are just recapping so that we can understand the first point of today's sermon. So with this whole context, setting, background that I've summarized and presented to you, we begin in first points of today's sermon, holiness begins with belonging to Him. So let us read Exodus chapter 19, verses 1 to 5. This is what it says from the ESV version. From the third new moon, after the people of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. They set out from Rephidim and came into the wilderness of Sinai, and they encamped in the wilderness. There Israel encamped before the mountain while Moses went up to God. The Lord called to him out of the mountain, saying, fast you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you up to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all the peoples. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel. Holiness doesn't begin with God dishing out a series of laws and regulations to God's people. Holiness begins firstly with God's people belonging to Him in a covenant relationship where God tells His people, you are my treasured possession. You should be mine. You belong to me. They are His treasured possession. Likewise, holiness begins with us belonging to Him in a covenant relationship we have in Christ. Holiness begins with belonging to God. The question I have to you this morning is this. Do you belong to God? Do you belong to God? I'm not asking whether have you said the sinner's prayer and whether you have free access to heaven, whether you are attending church every Sunday, whether you are serving faithfully. I'm asking you an honest question. Do you belong to God? The verse here in verse 5, it says that God's people are His treasured possession. It conveys a picture of God having a complete possession, complete ownership over His people. Likewise, if you say that you belong to God, every part of your life must be owned and possessed by Him. Do you belong to God? So holiness begins with belonging to God. So you can't help but to ask this question, Pastor Sharon, how does belonging to God look like in everyday life? Like, how does it look like, you know? Perhaps it looks like a picture of Jesus at the center of all that you are, all that you do and experience in life. Belonging to God conveys a picture of Jesus permeating, influencing, possessing every part of your life, including the hidden areas of your life that could be the shameful area, sinful, fearful, painful, or stressful areas of your life. My loving question to my brothers and sisters this morning is this. Do you have a hidden area of your life that you have not surrendered? That area, God is calling you to surrender. He wants to own and possess, permeate and influence that area of your life. Can you give that area of your life to Jesus before you cross over to 2025? Because when you surrender the hidden area of your life to Jesus, He becomes the new divine center of that area and prevents that area from stumbling you in your journey of holiness. When Jesus becomes the Lord and Master over that painful area of your life, He takes over the control of that area. And He will prevent that area from stumbling you again and again and again. So holiness begins with belonging to God first. It doesn't begin with God dishing out a series of laws for God's people to obey, expecting them to obey. It begins with God telling His people, "You are my treasured possession." Likewise, holiness begins with every part of our life belonging to God. Some of you may not be a believer this morning. Maybe you're hearing this podcast over the website. Maybe some of you have already prayed to receive Christ, but there is one area, very painful area of your life that you have been struggling, you stumble again and again, and you're not sure how is holiness really possible. I want to encourage some of you here, surrender that to Jesus, and He becomes the new divine center. He takes over control of that place, of that area, and He will prevent that area from stumbling you in your journey of holiness. Holiness begins with belonging to God. Holiness is eventually becoming like Him. Leviticus 20:26 says, "You shall be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy." Our Heavenly Father wants His children to be just like Him. You know, for parents, those of us who have children, we want our children who belong to us to be just like us, isn't it? This is a picture of my son when he was young, trying to take a picture with his friend, and then the father cheekily photobombed that picture, you know. And then we look at it, it's like, that's funny. But the interesting one is the next picture, that the friend was all taking picture, then you see the son, Felix's son, also did the same thing, photobomb the friends. Then we look at it, it's like, wow, Joshua is like father, like son, you know. Then we look at it, simply like very, very tickled in that sense, because as parents, we just want our children who belong to us to be like us in a cheeky and funny way, in a good way in that sense. That's the heart of our Heavenly Father as well. Because we belong to Him, He wants us to be just like Him. It's the heart of the Father. It's not a heart of a taskmaster. Understand that. It's the heart of a Father. Because we belong to Him, He wants us to be just like Him. Therefore, He spent 1 year up on Mount Sinai to reveal the laws, the regulations to His people. And this was what we covered throughout the year. And I'm going to summarize for you. As I summarize for you, ask the Spirit to speak to you. What is one segment that God, you have been speaking to me, but I've not acted upon it? Chapters 1 to 7 of Leviticus is all about how has your worship of God been this year. Chapters 8 to 10 is about how have you mediated between God and others. Are you interceding for people? Chapters 11 to 15 is all about how have you lived distinctively from the world. Chapter 16, how have you grown in loving Jesus this year? Chapter 17 to 20, how have you grown in moral purity and loving your neighbor this year? Chapters 21 to 22, how have you stewarded the ministry God has given to you? Chapters 23 to 25, how have you stewarded the time God has given to you? Chapters 26 to 27, how have you lived with God this year? To recall and remember what God has already spoken to you in some Sundays or one of the Sundays during the year. Thank you for participating in this exercise of remembrance. You know, when we look at this picture, some of us can feel torn and overwhelmed. It has so much things to do in order to be holy, isn't it? Some of you might have finished a performance appraisal with your boss in the marketplace, and you look at the list of KPIs that your boss, you know, gave to you. You're not sure how to even cross over to 2025. You know, some of you, you see the gaps in your children. You're not sure how to tackle the gaps together with your child in 2025. Maybe you have some red indicators on your health report. You're not even sure how to move forward in 2025. You look at a chart like this, it's like, Pastor Sharon, I'm overwhelmed. If I were to redraw this whole summary into a picture, it probably looks like this, you know, you at the center of it, being torn, you know, being put at all sides. One part of you wants you to be number one, a holy worker, a holy student, intercessor, servant of God, neighbor, or retiree. Another one part of you expects you, number two, to be a holy child, honoring and caring for your aging parents all the time. Another part of you, number three, expect you to be a holy spouse. Another side of you wants you to be a holy parent. And lastly, there's a part of you expecting you to be a holy worshiper and observing holy rhythm all the time. You look at it and you say, I'm overwhelmed. Like, God, I can't do this. And some of you feel that at the end of 2024, more than being inspired, you feel like throwing the towel. But my brothers and sisters in Christ, at the end of 2024, the last sermon of the book of Leviticus is not meant to make you feel overwhelmed. It's not meant for you to conclude that Christianity is so difficult, holiness is so tough, that my God is such a tough master. It's not meant to be like that. As I was preparing this sermon, I was praying and I came across an old book by Richard Foster from this book of simplicity, Freedom of Simplicity. This is what he writes. Within all of us is a whole conglomerate of selves. There is a timid self, the courageous self, the business self, the parental self, the religious self, the literary self, the energetic self. And all of these selves are tucked individualists. No bargaining of compromise for them. Each one screams to protect his or her vested interests. If a decision is made to spend a relaxed evening listening to Chopin, the business self and the civic self rise up to protest at the loss of precious time. The energetic self paces back and forth, impatient and frustrated, and the religious self reminds us of the lost opportunities for study or evangelistic contact. No wonder we feel distracted and torn. No wonder we overcommit our schedules and live lives of frantic faithfulness. No wonder Sabbath seems impossible. But when we experience life at the center, all is changed. Our many selves come under the unifying control of the divine God. As I mull over this, perhaps the way to practice holiness and become like God is to come back to living our life with reference to God, the divine center, is to come back and give God an area of our life that He wants to grow as the divine center. He wants to take control of that and helps us in our journey of holiness. And no wonder Pastor Edmund Chan many years ago reminds us the way forward is not simply to slow down, but to center down. Go back to God at the center of it all. If we look at the whole of the book of Leviticus, if you were to draw it into a picture, you know, chapter by chapter, perhaps it looks like that. The tabernacle at the center of everything in the setting. This is really how it looked like back in those days, with various camps and tribes surrounding the tabernacle. The tabernacle is geographically at the center of it all. The practice of holiness, giving different offerings through the chapters that we covered throughout the whole book, is with reference to the tabernacle at the center of it all. The motivation to want to practice holiness is so that God may dwell in the tabernacle, the center of it all. This is a picture of experiencing life with reference and deference to the tabernacle, the presence of God taking the center stage of everything. The motivation to practice holiness is so that God may be at the divine center. Perhaps holiness, becoming more like God, is not doing more things by our own strength. It's giving our life back to the divine center. The way forward to practice holiness is to live life with reference and deference to God at the center of our lives. Holiness is eventually becoming like Him by living our life with reference and deference to God at the center of our lives. Every part of our life, give to Him. Let Him be that divine center once again. Experience life at the center will empower you to ultimately, gradually become like your Father in heaven. Live your life at the center with reference and deference to God and His Word. Last Sunday, Pastor Edmund Wong encouraged us in his sermon, download the Lecture 365 app. And the app is really beautiful. I use it every day and every night as well, because they have day portion and the evening portion for you to contemplate on God's Word and allowing God's Word to transform you. You know, when you live your life with reference to the world, if you live your life with the world at the center of your life, it is extremely dangerous. Because the world is constantly telling us that your God is a tough master. Christianity is so difficult. God doesn't want you to be happy. And no wonder immediately the picture that comes to our mind is this picture of being torn, overwhelmed. Because our God is a tough master. But when you spend time in the Word of God, when you live your life with reference and deference to God and His Word, His Word will start to transform your understanding of your God. And slowly, you will see your God as a loving and faithful Father. And when you see your God as a loving and faithful Father at the center of your life, you will behave like a child. Let me repeat again. When you see your God as a loving and faithful Father at the center of your life, you will start to behave like a child and you just want to be like your Father. Like my son, photobombing. Just want to be like the Father. So the way forward to become like God is to live your life with reference and deference to Him and His Word. If Lecture 365 is so difficult for you to use and sometimes you don't like that app, then there could be another app that you used, and that is the YouVersion app. Next year in TNG, we're going to get all our youth to read the book of Matthew together with us in the YouVersion app. Why the YouVersion app? Is because this app allows the CGL, the DM case, to form CG community in the app itself, to invite the youth into the app and journey together in their quiet time in the app. So in the app, the youth can actually interact. You know, they can share their reflection on the book of Matthew. They can spur each other. They can take turns to share their insights on the reading for that day. And that brings the community together. And sometimes as youth, they need this kind of community to spur each other to do it. So whichever app that you're using, get back to a Bible reading plan. You cannot become like God, be holy, if you're not reading God's Word. Holiness is eventually becoming like Him. We want to remember the book of Leviticus, not a list of do's and don'ts, but a picture of the tabernacle at the center of it all. The practice of holiness, giving different offerings day and night to that tabernacle at the center of it all, is so that God may dwell among them. The motivation to practice holiness in the book of Leviticus is so that God may dwell among them, the center stage of everything, the whole camp and the center stage of their life. Likewise, the reason why we want to be holy is because we want to be just like God. And to do that, you need to live a life with reference and deference to God at the center of your life, at the center of it all. Holiness is firstly belonging to Him. Some of you, God is calling you, surrender that area to Him. Don't hide it anymore. Don't carry that area to 2025, because that hidden area will keep stumbling you. Invite Him in. And He will be that new divine center. He will give you strength to become like Him, even in that painful area of your life. As I come to the end of the sermon, I want to share with you a role model, someone who belongs to God, someone who's just like Jesus, and she's my mother-in-law. My mother-in-law is turning 92 years old soon. She has been wheelbound for the past 20 years due to a stroke. In her early 40s, which is about 50 years ago, she became a widow and left behind with four children. That was the most painful area of her life. And my husband told me that that painful area of her life became her most defining moment. Because when she became a widow, she decided to surrender that painful episode of her life in her early 40s. And her life started to change. And she started to have spiritual revival, transformation. And the children witnessed her putting God at the center of everything that she does. And the Word became the center of her life. And when I first got married, she would tell me, "Sharon, in your home, paste the scriptures everywhere on the wall." I said, "Mom, why should I do that?" He said, "So that whichever corner you turn to, you can be reminded by the Word of God." So that is my mother-in-law, you know. And, you know, many years ago, someone told me this: never marry the only son of a widow because you will have so much struggles with your mother-in-law. Then I'm like, "Oh yeah, Felix, the only son of my mother-in-law." But that's not the case for her, you know. Because people tell me, don't do that. Because when you marry the only son of a widow, her son is her everything, right? Her only man left, and her life revolves around her son. You're like taking away the man from her life. So I dated Felix, maybe with fear and trembling, but I realized that that is not the case for my mother-in-law. There is no power struggle between my mother-in-law all these years, being married to Felix for 22 years. On the day of our wedding, I remember her telling me this: "Sharon, you don't need to kneel before me to punte, to give me the tea, because the only person you must kneel before is Jesus Christ Himself. But I want to bless you. I want to bless your marriage." And I felt my mother-in-law so special. So 2 years ago, we started having the opportunity to receive her into our home to take care of her in the last stage of her life. So she has been staying with us for the past 2 years. And there is still no power struggle, even though we are living under the same roof. The first day she came into my home, the first meal we had together, my mother-in-law came to me with humility and sincerity. And she said, "Sharon, thank you for receiving me into your home." And I look at this old lady, I realize, actually, she didn't need to thank me. She has every right to want to stay with her son. She has every right to demand that we take care of her. But she comes to me with that humility and sincerity and said, "Thank you for receiving me into your home." And this is my mother-in-law. Staying with her for 2 years, I witnessed every day Jesus at the center of her life. You know, sometimes we complain, "Wow, having quiet time is so difficult. Life is so busy. How to put God at the center of our lives?" Wait till you're 90. I'm like, when you're 90, life is really so difficult, because I see her struggling every day trying to read the Word of God. She wakes up in the morning. She tries to read for 5 minutes, and then she dozes off at the wheelchair. And half an hour later, she wakes up again, and she tries to read the Word of God again. And in order to stay alert, she started copying scriptures so that she can remember, so that she can understand more before falling asleep. I see that day and night, my mother-in-law doing this in front of me, because we share the same table, you know. And I can see her having Jesus at the center of her life, even wheelbound, you know. When I look at her, she's not living a very productive life, right? Wheelbound, what can she do? But her life is extremely attractive. I told myself, when I'm old, I just want to be like her. Her holiness is so beautiful and attractive. And friends who know my mother-in-law will tell me this: when they're old, they just want to be like her. You know, my brothers and sisters in Christ, when we are holy, people see Jesus in us. When God gives the book of Leviticus to His people, it's not that they might be a holy club. It's so that they may point to the nations who God really is. And today, as you come to the end, the last Sunday of the book of Leviticus, I'm encouraging you, have that desire to live a holy life, to belong to Him, to become like Him, so that your life becomes attractive. And when people look at your life, they see Jesus and they just want to be like Him as well. Let us pray. As I invite the worship team to sing this song to respond to God, I pray that the lyrics of the song will be the cry of your heart, that Jesus be the center of my life. Jesus be the center of even the hidden area of my life. Jesus, come in and be that divine center and help me to live a holy life. Shall we rise and sing this song together?
Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus.
I want to speak to my brothers and sisters in Christ this morning. I don't know what pain, what shame, or what stress you're holding. Maybe you feel that you're coming to your 40s, 50s, 60s. Maybe that's it. You feel that there's no more hope and your life is going to be like this. But I'm telling you this morning, no. As long as you surrender your life once again to belong to God, let Him be not just your Savior, your Lord and your Master. He will come in to take control. He will help you to finish well, to be holy. And when your people around you, your children, your descendants look at you, they just want to be like Jesus. If this is you, no matter how young or old you are, if this is your desire to want to be holy, so that your life points others to Jesus, with all eyes closed, I want to invite you to raise your hand. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. Father, you see hands raising up to you this morning. Myself included. We deeply desire you to empower us. We want to be just like you. We want to finish well. We want the people around us, when they see us, they see Jesus. Yet we lack strength. Sometimes we lack courage. We lack faith. And today I ask that you strengthen all my brothers and sisters right now in the name of Jesus, wherever they are. Hands raising up to you, or maybe they're too weak to raise their hands to you. Come and fill them right now in the name of Jesus. May you come and be the divine center. May you come and help them to live their lives in reference and deference to you, saying no to the world, yes to you, in every decision they make, in every crossroad they have in life. May they always say yes to you, not with by their own strength, but the power of your Spirit. You may put your hands down, and I want to speak to some friends of us this morning. You have not asked Jesus into your life, and this morning you feel that tug in your heart that you want to give your life to Jesus. And you want Him to come and transform you to live a different life, a distinctive life, a holy life. And if this is you, that you want to believe Jesus, who died on the cross for you, whose blood is able to forgive and cleanse you from all unrighteousness, with all eyes closed, I want to invite you to raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Is there anyone receiving Jesus for the first time? I want to pray for you. Father, I bless friends here this morning. Could be on site or even online listening to this sermon. May you minister to them wherever they are. Help them to know that you are not a tough master. You are their loving Father who wants you, them, to be just like their Father. So come and feel them, meet them where they are. May your love melt and cast out all fears in the name of Jesus. May you bless them to encounter you like never before. May they continue to seek you and find you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
From my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all.
You'd spent some time listening to God's Word, and we hope that the message has ministered to you. You can visit us at www.cefc.org.sg for more sermon titles. God bless you in your spiritual pilgrimage ahead.